I have something special for my podcast listeners. You know my book is already available for order, but I want to share a few time-sensitive opportunities to go deeper with me and implementing the concepts in the book. These are opportunities that are only available until September 22nd, so that's why I wanted to just insert myself here quick and tell you about these opportunities. If you are one that's still looking around at all your options, you aren't sure if you have a biology of trauma, you aren't ready to actually take action based on the science laid out in the book, but you really want to understand the concepts, you are seeking understanding, then you will want the Guided Seeker Bundle. This is where you are getting a workbook and master course to go with the book. It's walking you through the main concepts of each chapter so that you get the support of helping you learn and understand and not having you miss critical concepts in this book. If you are ready to take action and implement, I am giving my support to help you accelerate your implementation of the concepts. This will be through a live 1.5-day group intensive online on Zoom. And I am going to go through the workbook with you. This is where you will get my support to implement the concepts, making sure that you know how to implement what is in the workbook and the master course. Finally, if you are a practitioner, guide, or coach, and you help others, you will really want to consider the Fast Track Practitioner Bundle, which includes everything we've just talked about, the master course, the workbook, and the half-day online intensive with me, and a one-day in-person with me in my home, where we are going to identify your personal blocks to your next level of healing and regulation, especially if you are helping others. It is so important for you to go the next layer deep. And your body would have already done that level of healing if it were ready. It needs something. There is a block somewhere. And let's go uncover that together so you can walk away with your personalized 30-day plan for where to focus your time, energy, and money for removing your current biggest block to your next level of regulation, authenticity, and health. Visit biologytrauma.com/book. This is where you can order a single copy of the book, and then it will immediately show you these opportunities to go deeper with me and the book.
The healing journey is more than just healing. Many think we want to recover what was lost or return to who we were before an experience. Yet, the healing journey is about discovering who we can become when we're no longer held back by the past. While trauma initially disrupts our natural state of growth and connection, the healing journey can lead us to a fuller life than we even knew was possible. Welcome to this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Amy. We are just 1 week away from my book release on September 23. And I want to give you a special sneak peek into what's inside this book. So in this episode, I'm reading a few sections from my book for you to get a sense of what you will be reading. And if you've already purchased the book, maybe you want to order it for someone else once you hear what's inside. So first I will read chapter 8. This chapter takes you inside of the individual cells. And then from chapter 18, the last chapter, from healing to living. As we know, the goal is not just to heal our trauma, but actually to use that as a foundation for growth beyond even what we thought possible. As a reminder, you can start reading now. If you pre-order the book now, I will give you the first 3 chapters and you can get started. You'll hear insights from my book community as we go through this episode, people who've already read those first 3 chapters and sharing how it is landing for them and what they're already learning about themselves. So if you haven't pre-ordered yet, you can head over to biologytrauma.com/book and get one for yourself, get one for a friend, get one for that family member who needs it. And with that, let's dive in. I am going to start with an explanation of a body trauma loop. The chapter with a story of Sarah. This is a story of an ICU nurse. The body trauma loop is what happens when our body's instinctual trauma response never completes. When our body's instinctual trauma response never completes, it is how the impact of an original incomplete trauma response compounds over time. It's like collecting rocks while hiking. The first rock is perhaps noticeable, but manageable, depending on its size. But as we get stuck in a loop, we experience overwhelm time and time again. Each new experience of overwhelm without completion adds to the burden. What started as a single rock becomes a backpack full, then a wheelbarrow full that makes each step forward increasingly difficult. What started as a single rock becomes a backpack full, then a wheelbarrow full. And that's what makes each step forward increasingly difficult. As a child, Sarah, our ICU nurse, her body had experienced trauma responses that, never completing, started to increase in their impact and burden on her life over time. Her perfectionism, the people-pleasing tendencies, her inability to relax, and hypervigilance got stronger over time. The trauma burden gets heavier over time, not just because of the original trauma response, but now because of the years of continuing to cycle through the same sequence. This is why our reactions, coping mechanisms, and even health symptoms often progressively worsen over the years. Every time we experience overwhelm, completion, we add to both the cellular danger response and dysregulation our body is carrying. Neuroception and its ongoing reception of cues of danger keeps our nervous system looping between the activation and trauma states. When Sarah, our ICU nurse, first started working with me, she said, "I always feel like the next bad thing is just around the corner. The next bad thing is just around. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure it's there. I'm sure it's coming." This insight into her background anxiety actually reveals the answer to how the body trauma loop is created, taking us back to neuroception, which is the driver of our nervous system states. Since her childhood experience of powerlessness in the face of her mother's ridicule, Sarah's neuroception was programmed to view the world through danger-colored glasses, which means that even if everything is good in our life, without that reset to safety, the perception of danger remains. The perception of danger remains. Just like a person wearing rose-colored glasses sees everything positively, Sarah's neuroception saw danger everywhere, even if it wasn't real. This creates two problems that create and feed the body trauma loop. First, neuroception will always have us sensing danger. If we have the capacity to respond, it has us in that upper part of the loop in the activation state with anxiety and stress. If we don't have enough capacity for the perceived level of danger, either because of too much too fast or too little for too long, we experience a state shift to the lower part of the loop, the trauma state. The second problem is when normal cues of safety are misinterpreted as additional cues of danger. Let me read that sentence again, just to make sure we're not talking about us. The second problem is when normal cues of safety are misinterpreted as cues of danger. Because of its danger-colored glasses, neuroception often perceives threats from things in our environment that aren't a true danger, even connecting with people or coming together in community or the background noise of the refrigerator can become a source of perceived danger through the filter of neuroception that was never reset to safety. Neurons that fire together, wire together is a commonly known phrase to describe what happens as neuroplasticity then takes our experiences and automate a process we frequently go through. Whether this is the process of our commute to work, making our bed, brushing our teeth, neuroplasticity creates and strengthens neural pathways that we use repetitively to automate the process and make it easier for us. Neuroplasticity has no preference for whether these are healthy patterns we want to repeat or unhealthy patterns we would like to eliminate. Here's the key principle. Whatever is repeated will be habituated. Whatever is repeated will be habituated. to save us energy from having to think about how to do the same process in the future. And this is how, unfortunately, neuroplasticity can also automate patterns into habits we never wanted to have. Each time we cycle through the loop of anxiety, stress, overwhelm, anxiety, stress, overwhelm, we deepen the neural pathways, making this loop a default response, just like brushing our teeth before bed. Understanding the role of neuroplasticity and automating the body trauma loop into a default habit will affect the time it takes us to undo these patterns and create new response patterns that serve us better. When our body has been living for decades, forming habits, forming neural pathways, who are we to think that once I just decide that I no longer want to do this, that it's as easy as making a decision? I want to share with you a few insights from those who have already read chapters 1-3, which, as a reminder, you can do when you pre-order the book now. So let's hear what they say and what they get out of the book already. Kathy, can I ask, what was your experience and perception of what you've read so far?
I don't want to wait till September 23rd. I want the rest of the information. I want it now. Why are you keeping it from me? I have not read a book in 10 years, and that's a different story for a different day. This is the first book I've read in 10 years, and I read it all three chapters, and I did not have a problem with it. It answered so many questions and so many kind of sticking points that I was having as I was going through this journey. And like I said, I'm like, I don't want to wait till the 23rd. I need a copy now. Come on, get it here now.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. That actually means a lot to me to hear that you've had challenges with reading books in the past. Don't need to go into the story. That's enough for me to know that your nervous system has had challenges with that. And this was different for you.
Very different. Yes.
Wow. Goosebump moment for me. Thank you, Kathy. Lindsay, tell me about your perspective on the first three chapters of this book.
I'll just say that you are as compelling a writer as you are an educator. And so it brought me right along, and I have a bunch of my people that I work with in my private practice also having ordered the book. It's just very welcoming. I think I've said this before, but I love it that you use your medical and biological expertise to use other resources, of course, as well. Like, you are willing to do whatever it takes, but you use your own healing as the impetus. And so it naturally pulls others in to a level of hope and excitement and clear instructions with your demonstration. And so I'm really excited to get the book as well. And I'm not at all nervous about anyone not liking the book that I've encouraged them to read.
Thank you. Harry, what has been your perspective of the book so far?
I love the book. It's so relatable. And like, other people's presence just drew me right in and kept me engaged. And while I was reading it, I really felt, oh, it was like almost like a sadness that I didn't have this book 40 years ago, that my younger self didn't have it, because it would have been so valuable to create context for what was unfolding. And I also felt so excited that so many people now will have access to this. And especially because you're going big with this expansion, book signings in different cities and all the podcasts, so that it really has a chance to go out and help people. And you know, it's already helping me, even though I've done so much training with you. Yeah, I'm excited to get it.
Our body does its best. And now that we understand that we have to engage neuroplasticity, and neuroplasticity takes time, we see that the most important thing for us in creating that better tomorrow for ourselves is the consistency with what we can do today. It's not doing one thing one time. It's the consistency. And so let's choose, what can I do today that I will also be able to do tomorrow? Let me not try to do so much that I'm not going to be able to be consistent with it. It's better for me to do something small, but consistently, than something big, but it only be for one time. That's not going to change my neural pathways. It's the consistency that will form new pathways because I'm engaging neuroplasticity. And then that becomes my new default. And you look at someone like Susan Lin, who's been with me for 4 years, going on five, and her ability to start every day checking in with her body. She didn't used to do that, but she did it so consistently that now that is her new normal. That is her new habit. Now she doesn't even have to think about it. It's just happening naturally. That's why when I lead you through the 21-day journey, I'm like, we got to do this every day, you guys. This every day. Because once a week, three times a week, isn't going to be enough. We're working with a nervous system that needs consistency to form new neural pathways. And then it unravels those old ways of living and starts to form new ways of living. And those new ways are when connection starts to feel safe. It no longer has that same danger-colored glasses where everyone might be a threat. Everyone might hurt me because it's happened before. People have hurt me before. But if we want to change that so that we know that it's just some people, not all people, we've got to create that consistency to actually change those neural pathways. It's not a one time and done. It's consistency. Creating that internal environment of safety, the consistency of choosing to nourish my body with things that are helpful. If I only eat one healthy meal a week and the rest of the time I'm eating as if I hate myself, that one healthy meal isn't going to make much of a difference. I hate to tell you that. But what if every day, what we ate, what we drank, what we did, we actually were doing it as if we loved ourselves, as if we truly cared for ourselves? What if we ate as if we truly cared for ourselves? Now we're going to be consistent. And now that's going to create big change in our life. What I tell those people in my courses is that small hinges move big doors. Small hinges, the small choices, but made consistently, change big doors in our life. The small things done consistently move big doors in our life. You've just heard me read from chapter 8 of the book about the body trauma loop and Sarah's story as an ICU nurse. We learned her story in section 1, and chapter 8 is part of section 2, which is on how and why the body holds on to experiences from our past. Next, I'm going to read from chapter 18. This is the last chapter in the book, and it's about the healing journey and what is that last phase. I lead with the phases and the essential sequence and the framework in all of section 3. And so this last chapter is really looking at where do we go from here? What is waiting for us at the end of this more intense trauma healing journey? This is chapter 18, the last chapter of the book. From healing to living, next steps, change, but start slowly because direction is more important than speed. Paul Selho, The Alchemist. I start every chapter with a quote. So that quote again, I love this quote, change, but start slowly because direction is more important than speed. I couldn't believe it. I was crying watching a racehorse win. I remember the first time I watched the movie Seabiscuit. I felt like I could relate to this horse. And because he won against all odds, maybe I could too. The movie is based on a true story. Seabiscuit was not built like a champion, large, sleek, and without an imperfection. He was small, ate a lot, and slept even more. Early years, they had raced him head-to-head against the champion racing horses, only to pull back and force him to lose, to build the confidence of the larger horses. When they raced him, he did exactly what they had trained him to do. He lost.
He had grown bitter
and angry.
The owners bought him because of the look in his eyes, a life force still burning inside. I was riveted, as throughout the movie, lessons felt like personal messages to me. Things like, don't throw a whole life away just because it's a little banged up. And he's so beat up, it's hard to tell what he's really like inside. He's forgotten what he was born to do. He just needs to learn how to be a horse again. The story goes that they did give Seabiscuit a second chance at winning, or rather, learning that he could win. His jockey, angry, bitter, and just as banged up from his childhood, was the perfect partner for Seabiscuit. Together, they started winning races, going all the way to race the fastest horse on the East Coast and win. That was when I cried. If Seabiscuit could open his heart back up to life, remember who he was, and let his authentic and powerful self shine and win, maybe, just maybe, I could too. The healing journey is more than just healing. Many think we want to recover what was lost or return to who we were before an experience. Yet, like Seabiscuit's story, the healing journey is about discovering who we can become when we're no longer held back by the past. While trauma initially disrupts our natural state of growth and connection, the healing journey can lead us to a fuller life than we even knew was possible. Peter Levine captured this idea in his book, Trauma Through a Child's Eyes. The paradox of trauma is that it has both the power to destroy and the power to transform and resurrect. I have come to the conclusion that human beings are born with an innate capacity to triumph over trauma. I believe not only that trauma is curable, but that the healing process can be a catalyst for profound awakening, a portal opening to emotional and genuine spiritual transformation. And so, my friend, while establishing safety and regulation are crucial first steps, they are not our final destination. The ultimate goal isn't just to heal. It's to live our life in fullness. It's to create a life we want to live and are excited to get up for every day. In my roles as a parent, physician, and educator, I've witnessed the profound changes and transformations in those I work with and train. It's awe-inspiring, like watching a flower grow and then bud, opening up to life. This is the journey from the contraction that overwhelm creates back to our natural state of openness and expansion. Understanding true expansion. Remember the analogy of expansion as the duckling emerging from its egg. The magic of an emerging life lies not in external force breaking the shell, but in the duckling's internal growth, creating the right pressure from within. This analogy shows the magic of how we can emerge from our trauma patterns with new life, freedom, and authenticity. When we try to expand our capacity through force, the growth we want gets crushed. If we follow the essential sequence, using our foundation of safety and support for our expansion, that's when new life emerges. So in many ways, true expansion is like stepping onto a spiral staircase. While each step takes us higher to new levels, it also takes us deeper to new layers. We might think we know the pain, fear, and overwhelm we carry, but each step in the expansion takes us higher and deeper than what we had thought. We had thought we had healed those things. We had thought we'd already done the repair. But now we're seeing it on a higher and deeper layer. We will be more successful in climbing the spiral staircase if we take each step carefully, ensuring that the step is safe and supported from below. That is how we stay within our capacity while growing it, and how we build on our foundation of safety and support to reach new heights. Thus, at each step, we come into a deeper awareness of ourselves, building our capacity and getting a better view of what might be possible for us. An important shift in our perspective happens as we climb this spiral staircase. At first, our focus is naturally still on healing, and we are constantly asking the question, what else do I need to fix? What else about me is broken that I need to repair that? But as we expand, the focus shifts to living, and we start asking the question, how can I be more alive? How can I be more alive? How can I be more present? As we identify what is holding us back from being more alive in the ways we want, we discover the next layer of the spiral staircase in front of us. There is one more truth about expansion that the spiral staircase reveals. It has no end. We can go as far and as high as we want to. It is a journey where we get to decide how far we want to go. It is a journey where triggers no longer need to be enemies, but instead helpful information that we learn about ourselves and things we can choose to reprogram. With time, we can step into areas that have been uncomfortable and out of balance for us because they would previously trigger us. In the expansion step, we are looking for subtle but profound changes along the way rather than expecting big and immediate changes. We might naturally find ourselves reaching out to a friend for a walk rather than reaching for that tub of ice cream or movies. We might discover we can stay present with uncomfortable emotions that previously would send us into shutdown. Biology shows us when we're expanding by offering us better sleep, naturally, more stable energy and clearer thinking. Our relationship with ourselves transforms, and we become curious rather than critical. Think of expansion like learning to play a new musical instrument. At first, it takes tremendous conscious effort to do the fundamentals, like learning where to put our fingers and how to read the notes all at the same time. But with practice, these same fundamentals become automatic, allowing us to then play more complex pieces and eventually even compose our own song. The next section is on reasons why some may not be successful, and you'll just have to wait until the book to read that. Because now you know what it takes to be successful, one step at a time. We don't try to take all the steps on the staircase at the same time. It's one step at a time with deliberate intention. Then I get a deep breath with that. When I read this, it's yes, like I captured the essence of what I really wanted to say. The 8th edition, no less, but I captured it. The expansion, it's more than just healing. So as I read that, what do you think of? What are you going through? What have you gone through? You've just heard me read from chapter 18 of the book, and this is the chapter on true expansion and what it means to move from healing to living. The key insights from this chapter are understanding true expansion as a spiral staircase that really has no end. We go deeper and we go higher and wider with each step on that staircase. We're now asking the question, how can I be more alive? So that the ultimate goal is not just to heal, but really to create a life that we are excited to wake up for. I want to share with you a few more insights from those who have already read chapters 1-3, which as a reminder, you can do when you pre-order the book now. So let's hear what they say and what they get out of the book already. Keisha, when I say that the healing journey is not just about healing and staying safe, you've been experiencing some great things.
Yes, I have. I am the biology of healing, and I was
50 years of the biology of trauma. And this has totally changed my entire life, the 21-day journey and the all parts of me. It's been an absolute miracle. Clearly, my body is changing on a cellular level. And right now, I'm enjoying the ride of healing. I don't know what expansion looks like exactly for me, but I have a sense that it's big.
And I love that we can think about that now. We can actually consider the possibilities.
Yes.
And think, what might be possible? What might be down the road for me? It's again, it's a life that we get excited to live, not, one more day in this life that I don't.
Yeah.
Thank you, Keisha. Rhoda, what have been your thoughts around the healing journey and into expansion?
It is very exciting to think of it that way. I've just finished the stress module and it's all been about sort of regulation and into the nuts and bolts of it. But listening to that extract today, it brings a new meaning to why I'm coming into this. And also just practically, since I've been doing these courses, my life has improved so much. So it explains why things are getting so much better as well. And I haven't until today realized that the work I'm putting in now is probably a result of why my life is getting so much better. I'm really looking forward to reading this book, looking forward to finding out when it can be available in Australia. I've pre-ordered it, but the date's not available. But thank you for that. It just makes me very excited about what's ahead for me. So thank you.
That's it, right? The excitement about what's ahead rather than the dread of what's ahead.
Yeah.
I think that's where a lot of the world is right now. They're looking at it and they're seeing worse days. They're seeing life getting worse. They're thinking that things will get much worse. Whereas I look at things and I say, it's still up to me, still up to me for me to create my inner safety, my inner healing, my inner regulation. And with that, it opens up possibilities. Mm-hmm. My life is going to continue to get better.
Again, also appreciating what has happened, the good and the bad, is also very enlightening. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, God. This idea of expansion, creating the life that we want to live. Lita, I'm going to circle back to you because I'd love to hear your thoughts on this big topic, given all that you've done.
It's very interesting. And that being able to wake up in the morning and not think about healing, but rather think about living, and having spent many years thinking about healing one thing or another, it's more than a relief. It's just a new direction, obviously an expansion. Like you just said, that expansion is more than healing. It is living. And it's exciting to explore all the possibilities, like being open to the possibilities. That song that I've played many times, now living those possibilities, has made all the difference.
It's a completely different way of waking up every day. To be able to focus on living and not looking at the past and seeing what needs to be healed.
And not even being so anxious about the future because of spending all the time on the past and the healing, but rather just being in the present. It takes a long time. At least it has taken me a long time. To be more in the present.
And that's what we started with in the 21-day journey, is working on even being present and realizing how little we actually had been present. And then every module since then continues to take us a deeper level into being present.
Wow.
Thank you, Lita. Lita, how long have you been taking courses with me?
4 years, maybe? I don't know.
A while. So there are many here who are just starting out. Maybe they've just finished their foundational journey. Maybe they are just going to be starting their foundational journey. What words of wisdom would you have for someone just starting off with this foundational journey and biology of trauma that you've learned in being here for 4 years?
It may sound simplistic, but I guess I would say just take it one step at a time, because there were times when I would look at the whole picture and I wanted to do it all and get there, wherever there was. Then I realized just doing this step, this module, or this drop-in, or whatever, this day was enough. Not easy to do. It's been a long process of learning, but I appreciate your guidance in sharing what you have learned with all of us, because it has meant a lot to each one of us.
I still remember the time that you weren't going to take the attachment module. Was it for the second time or the third time? And your little inner child threw a temper tantrum and was like, no, we are going to take that module again.
Yes, that's true. And another time, it was my protector part, believe it or not, that said, no, we need this. We really need to grasp all of this. So that was a pivotal module in my healing journey, for sure. Going back as far to the beginning of trauma, which you said is really important, and it is, going back to the earliest time. And healing.
And for you, that was even in utero. In your birth story, that's been a big part of it. Thank you, Lita.
Thank you.
Yeah, Diane. I would love to hear, Diane, what did you get out of it? Is there anything that surprised you? Tell me your experience of reading any aspect of the first three chapters.
Oh my gosh, what did I get out of it? I think how I would like to encapsulate having read that, Dr. Amy, I've done a lot of your classes.
Yeah,
almost everything that comes around.
But I have to say I was a little bit surprised by the fact that how much more and how much deeper I was able to understand things after reading those first three chapters. I was really surprised by that because I get this. This makes so much sense to me. It resonates with me, all of that. And then I read these first three chapters and I'm constantly highlighting and underlining and going, oh, now I see that in even a little deeper way. And in fact, I've been wanting to, and I just cannot wait for the it was almost unfair because we read those first three and it's, give me more. I want more. I want more. I'm having a hard time waiting. So it is. I just see it being all the way through. It's going to be that kind of experience. And it gives me, too, the opportunity, being a mental health counselor, to share more on a deeper level with my clients as well. Those three chapters have done that. And giving me that opportunity already to do that.
Thank you. It is amazing for me to hear yours and others' feedback. I spoke with Gabor Mate over the weekend, and he mentioned how this book is different than the ones that he has written because of the new science of trauma that is contained within this book. And to think that I almost didn't write this book. Remember, you can start reading now. You can order the book now and get the bundle bonuses that are also available through the 23rd. Once the book launches, then those bundles will not be available anymore. We had the Guided Seeker bundle. This is the workbook and master course. This is the Accelerated Implementer bundle as well, which includes me walking you through that workbook. And then the Fast Track Professional bundle, which includes the intensive at my home in order for us to discover your personal biggest block. There are two more VIPs where I come to you. And whether it's a business, an institution, a clinic, I do a whole day training just with you. When you pre-order now, you will be invited to the book launch party being held on Wednesday, September 24th on Zoom, 12 p.m. Pacific. And I look forward to celebrating this with you and to see you there with me. I am here to save you time and money by bringing you practical information that will help you accelerate the healing journey. So please take a moment to subscribe and leave a review, and take a moment today to pre-order the book. If you've already pre-ordered it for yourself, you know someone else in your life who needs this book. Your feedback is how I know how to improve this podcast, bring you great content, and allow others to find the information that could change their life as well. I'm your host, Dr. Amy. Until next episode, lots of love.